the book of Philemon. And if you will, to save some time, I want to read two verses to get the thought for our study tonight. In Philemon and verse 7, notice the scripture, "For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother." Then to save some time, if you will, drop down to verse 20. "Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord." When you read through the Bible, you'll find that the Bible uses different words to describe the saints of God. You'll remember that when the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, he identified them as faithful saints. You remember that when Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, he said that they were dedicated to the cause of Christ. But this evening, for a few moments of our time, I want to get in our thought, the line of thought about refreshing Christians, individuals that refresh or build up. When you think of that phrase, refreshing, what I want to get in our mind is that feeling or understanding that one is being built up. They're having their faith built up. They're having their confidence built up. Here is an individual that might be discouraged. They might be low. Their faith might be on a very downward precipice. And yet, my friend, they will find that individuals can come along and refresh them in the faith. When you look in the book of Philemon, you'll find such an individual. You'll find that Philemon was identified as a wealthy man. And yet, though he was a wealthy man, he was a faithful man. He was an individual that shared what he had. He was an individual who cared about the cause of Christ. And notice what Paul said about this man. Paul said he was an individual who took advantage of opportunities to do good. Paul said this man was a man who refreshed him. Look again in verse 7. He says, "We have great joy and consolation in your love." Why, Paul? He said, "Because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother." Here was a man that refreshed those round about him. Here was a man that built up the faith of other Christians. When other people were down, their faith might have been at a low point. This individual would come along and with that opportunity to do good, would build them up. He would refresh them and encourage them and strengthen them. Then if you take your Bible, look again at verse 20. When Paul's finishing this short epistle, notice again, he brings up another word. He brings the word up that he used in verse 7. He brings up the word joy. He said, "Let me have joy." Notice joy and refreshment go hand in hand. It's like when you're out on a hot day and all of a sudden you get a cool breeze, you get that extra burst, you get that little extra to keep going. Here was Philemon, and what he did with the Apostle Paul was refreshed him. He built up his faith, he built up his joy in Christ. Now then, can you think of a greater description of a saint of God than for an individual to be called a refreshing Christian? You know, there are a lot of people that are discouraging people. There are a lot of people in this world that all they do is complain and criticize. You don't have to go far in life to find somebody that will help bring you down. There are a lot of people in life that all they ever want to do is complain and they just sull up and pout. You ever seen people like that? You ever seen somebody that if they look at them, you know that they have to have lemons every day because they always look sour? But here was a man that when Paul talked about it, he said, "He refreshed me. He built up my faith." Now then, but notice if you will, this wasn't the only individual that ever did so for the Apostle Paul. If you take your Bible, look in the Roman letter and the 15th chapter. And when the Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Rome, he wants them to understand that there were some people in that city that was refreshing to him, that built up his faith. In the Roman letter and the 15th chapter, when the Apostle Paul is writing, he brings to their mind this individual. Look, if you will, in verse 30. "Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you. Now the peace of God be with you all. Amen. Look again at what Paul said. Notice when Paul brought up that word refreshing, notice again the word joy. Notice that word always goes with refreshing. And here Paul said, I desire your prayers. Look at what he says in verses 30 and 31. I beg you, he says, through Jesus and through the love of the Spirit, you strive with me in what? Prayers to God. Have you ever thought that the prayers of the saints should refresh us? When you're sick and you have a problem, who is it you want praying for you? Is it not the people of God? Is it not people who you know commune with God on a constant basis? Don't you want the prayers of the saints of God to go before the throne of God on your behalf? And here Paul said, I beg of you that you remember me and strive with me in prayers, that I not be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my servants in Jerusalem will be acceptable to the saints, and that by the will of God, I can be refreshed together with you. Now here's Paul talking to Philemon. Paul, what did you say about Philemon? Paul said, he refreshed me in the faith. That man built me up. Paul, here are some brethren in Rome. What do you say about these brethren? Paul said, I'll tell you one thing. Knowing they prayed for me brought me joy and refreshing. But now then, don't stop there. If you take your Bible and you see that this man desired their prayers, look, if you will, in 1 Corinthians 16. And you'll find that Paul talks about a third group of individuals. And he said these individuals did the same thing Philemon and the Roman brethren did. Look, if you will, in 1 Corinthians 16. And to save some time, look down at about verse 15. In 1 Corinthians 16, in about verse 15, he says, I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you also submit to such and to everyone who works and labors with us. I am glad about the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaeus, for what was lacking on your part, they supplied. For they refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge such men. Now you look at these three men, and notice what Paul said about them. First, he said, they were devoted to the service of God. Here were individuals devoted to doing the will of God and the ministry of Christ. They recognized they had a responsibility to teach the lost. They recognized they had a responsibility to edify and encourage the saints. And Paul said that's exactly what they did. They were devoted to it. Then if you take note, Paul said they supplied my needs. That which the other brethren may have lacked in giving, Paul said those individuals didn't lack. Paul said in a very clear manner, they supplied what was needed. But then when you look at your Bible, notice he said they labored. Oh, I want you to look at that word. That is more intense than work. You can look at the word work, but labor shows effort. Here were individuals putting effort into the cause of Christ. Notice they weren't concerned, as we talked about this morning, what they could get out of it. They were concerned about the will of God being taught. They were concerned about the saints of God being edified. And Paul said, I'll tell you what they did. They refreshed my spirit. Oh, there were times Paul got down. There were times Paul got discouraged. There were times Paul was hurt. But notice Paul said, they refreshed my spirit. Now then, if you take your Bible, notice something else. If you take your Bible, look, if you will, in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And notice another group that Paul talks about. When the Apostle Paul was writing this second epistle back to the church at Corinth, he has in mind some others who encouraged him. And if you look down at verse 13, notice what he says. In verse 13, he says, therefore, we have been comforted in your comfort, and we rejoiced exceedingly more for the joy. Oh, there's that joy again. The joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all.
Now, when Paul wrote that first epistle, there was a lot of problems in the church of Corinth. Now, he talked about the three that refreshed him out of the whole group. There was a lot of things going on at Corinth when Paul wrote that first letter that disturbed him. But now he sent Titus back. He's getting a report of the work. And Titus comes back and he says, "We have comfort in your comfort. And we are rejoicing and exceedingly more for the joy of Titus." He was refreshed. I got a question for you. Could it be said tonight that if there was some saint that was traveling across the land and perhaps they just came into Shevel, Tennessee and they stopped in at the Eastside congregation, could they leave with a report saying those are refreshing Christians? Well, that's something you've got to think about. What kind of a report would they give of this congregation? Would they be able to leave and say, "I'll tell you one thing, all I heard was bickering and all I heard was criticizing. I didn't see the love of God. I didn't see the work of God." Or could they say, "I'll tell you what I saw. I saw saints who were devoted. I saw people who built up my faith." But then look again, if you will. And this time, look, if you will, in 2 Timothy chapter 1. And this was when Paul is about to face death. Paul recognized this will be his last letter. Paul knows the time of death is nigh. And he's writing the young evangelist Timothy. And notice what he says in verse 16. In 2 Timothy 1:16, he said, "The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. The Lord grant to him that he might find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus." Paul, when you're in the Roman prison, who came to see you? Paul said, "I'll tell you what." And he says, "It's Onesiphorus. He sought me out." And look at what he says in verse 16. "He often refreshed me, and he was not ashamed of my chains." Keep your finger there and turn over just to 2 Timothy 4. And 2 Timothy 4, remember when Paul talked about in verse 17, he said that the Lord, or verse 16, he said, "At my first offense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them." When Paul was in that Roman prison, there were very few people he could count on. Luke was there. As you'll see, though, where he'd sent out different ones, Titus was in a place. You see where Demas had forsaken him. But he said, "I'll tell you about one who only didn't come just one time, but he often refreshed me." And notice verse 17. "When he arrived in Rome, he sought me out zealously." Ever thought about what it's like to have somebody to depend on? Have you ever been in a place in life where you looked around and you needed just somebody you could depend on? Now, many times we want people to defend us in a way they can't. But here was a man who was standing for what was right. And look what Onesiphorus did. He was there for me. I want to take that. I want to make three or four thoughts of the lesson's yours. You know what we need in the year 2015? We need Christians who build up the faith of others. We need individuals that are refreshing. Our young people need older people who will build up their faith. You know, sometimes I feel for the young people. Sometimes we look at these young kids and we forget what it's like to be children. And sometimes they get wiggly in services and sometimes they're going to run and gallop and we get mad. I want to tell you something. I have to say this to myself too. They're just children. They're going to face a lot in their life. They're going to be adults before you know it. And sometimes we want them to grow up too fast. Sometimes we want them to act like adults when they're still children. Now, that doesn't mean we just let them run rampant, but I'll tell you what it does mean. Don't browbeat. I don't know how many young children that I've known who talked about individuals that discouraged them. Of all the people that should encourage them, it should be God's people. Because we're interested in their soul. And many times what happens is we see a young person and we forget what it's like to get squirmy. But I've got to say something to you folks. I see some of y'all up here, and even the old people get squirming around a little bit. We talk about the kids, but I see some of you, you shift left, you shift right, and I think you were dancing after a while. We all get a little bit that way. And what I want us to remember is refresh them. Then we need to think about those who are aging. Sometimes we write them off. Sometimes we forget about those who are older. We forget about those who are widowed. We forget about those who are divorced. And you know something, my friend? Sometimes they need someone to encourage them. Ever get lonesome in life? Sometimes I look at myself and I'm ashamed because I don't refresh others as I should. But I'll tell you a third. I think we need to understand the fact that we can refresh people by doing good works. When we have an opportunity to do good, and that individual's legitimately a person that could use good work, we can do good. We can help. You ever thought about an individual who's left the faith? Sometimes what they need is a refreshing Christian. Someone who will come and remind them the benefits of being a child of God and being a saint of the people of God, to be redeemed by the blood of Christ. But have you ever thought about how we do refresh one another? I see some out here who have refreshed me. I see some who are older who've kept the faith. They've walked with God for many years and they've had trials and tribulations nobody else here may know. Their body may hurt, they ache, and they may have problems in the home, yet they keep keeping the faith. They keep walking with God, and I want you to know that refreshes me. To see here are people who really believe in the God of heaven and they believe their faith. They're not just seeing what they can get out of it. They love God. I think the greatest problem in local churches, we've lost our love for God and we've lost the fact we should be refreshing one another. I think about a young lady I knew about. Played basketball. And she felt uncomfortable because the uniform they gave her, she thought wasn't modest enough. They had back years ago, they were super short shorts. She went to the coach and said, "Coach, I just want to wear longer shorts." She said, "I'm not going to play if I can." Coach left. MVP of the basketball team. But I'll tell you what, she's MVP in another way. She let her light shine. I think about young people who let their faith show. I mentioned Sam this morning. I'm going to mention Jackson. I think about when he prays. You know what he prays about? He says, "I thank everyone for everybody who got to go to church today to worship you." That's refreshing. How many of us pray that we're grateful we're here? Some of us act like we have to be here. Oh, we should be thankful to be here. Why? I see other people who are going through the same things I'm going through in life. But they're keeping their faith in God and they know that this life is just a temporary thing. And they know that the best life, as we talked about this morning, is to come. Sometimes I need to be reminded of that. Sometimes I get so caught up in this world, I forget that. So I ask this question. What kind of a Christian are you? Could you be described as a refreshing Christian? And let me say this to you. If people see you coming and they start running from you, that's a good indication you're not refreshing people. It's a good indication you're bringing them down. That doesn't mean we're not honest, but I'll tell you what it means. It means that we want to help one another maintain the goal of Christ. And if you're here and you're not a child of God, you've never been immersed into Christ, you know tonight you can become a child of God. And I'll tell you what, that will refresh all of us. That will encourage us because that reminds us of what we're here for. To put God first. Remember, that's the greatest command. Sometimes we get that inverted. What was the greatest command? To love God with all your heart, mind, soul, spirit. Then to love your neighbor. Don't ever get those confused. God first, over everybody else. And I'll tell you what, you live your faith, it'll encourage others. If you're here and you need to obey the gospel, we pray you come as together we stand and sing.